Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well. Hey, you guys, I want you to know our God is a generous God. Amen? He's a generous God. He abounds in the grace that he pours out into our lives. He abounds in loving kindnesses that in Scripture it says they are new every single day that we wake up. So he gives us his own life to free us. He gives us his word to feed us. He gives us his spirit to lead us. He has given us breath that fills our lungs. He gives us beauty to see. He gives us food to eat. He gives us work to do to give us purpose and direction in our lives. He surrounds us with friends and family. Our God is a generous God. Amen? You know, our God is at work this morning. And our God is pouring out his generosity to us even at this time. That's why we worship him. That's why we lift him up. That's why we sing praises to him. That's why we gather on Sundays or whenever we can to join with the body of believers to lift up the name of our gracious God. So right now, we're going to stand. We're going to hear from his word. We're going to open our hearts and our ears to listen to the word that our generous God might be pouring out to us. His spirit is here. If you're at home, I invite you to stand with us. The spirit of God is with you as well. He is always present and he is the one who binds us together. So let's listen to his word right now. Let's listen to what he is saying. First in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 11. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in all things, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Just as it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all generosity, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. I want you to think about this from the moment that he gave the first description of himself to Moses in Exodus 34, where he said, I am compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. To the days that we see in the Gospels that are recorded where he showed us that faithfulness and that abounding grace through a life that was lived in front of us where he took on flesh and he bought our freedom with his own life. To the letters of to the churches from the apostles where God tells us in passages like the one that we read today that his intention is to generously bless us, is to pour out all blessing on us. Through all of that, we find out that our God is a generous God. Amen? He is a generous God. But that generosity, it comes with an intention. It comes with a purpose. You know what he wants? He desires that we would then take from that generosity and turn around and reflect that same generosity to others. That's his purpose. Now, we love that he's a generous God, but sometimes we have trouble with the purpose, right? We have trouble. Hey, I got my stuff, but I don't want to let go of it. But he says, that's what I gave it for. Today, we're going to be talking about the tension of generosity. Generosity in tension. Amen? Father, show up this morning. We know that you have much to give us. You have much to just download into us, to shape our minds and to change and transform our hearts and our lives. So, Father, have your way. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us and remake us and mold us with your grace, with your generosity, so that we might live that life that you have called us to, that we might be transformed and live a life that looks more like Jesus than it does like the brokenness and the darkness of this world. That people might see our lives and give worship and praise to you because they see you pouring through us to bless them. Lord God, be with us this morning. We pray for your glory, Father, none other but your glory, for the name of your Son, and in the power of your Spirit. Amen. Okay, as you're sitting down, I want you to think about this question. When was the last time you did something truly generous for someone else? Okay? Now, turn to somebody near you. If you're at home, you can type this in to the chat. You can text it to somebody. But turn to somebody and say, I was made for generosity. Come on, you got to find somebody. I was made for generosity. I was designed for generosity. You guys are sounding really weak in here. I don't know how it sounds at home, but it's sounding really weak. I want to hear you tell somebody across the room, I was made for generosity. Find the furthest person from you. Have you guys seen that that new Hershey's commercial? The Hershey's bar commercial. It has the two little girls, Ava and Olivia. And they're sitting in their room and they're dressed in their pink and purple. They're on the floor of this bedroom they share, surrounded by their stuffed animals. And between them is this little pink plate, and it has some of those little rectangles of chocolate from a Hershey bar. And they're all broken out. And this voice off camera, it says, if you're the tallest, take a piece of chocolate. And both of them laugh and they kind of reach for the chocolate, but both of them know Olivia's the tallest. So Olivia gets the chocolate and Ava kind of backs off. And then the voice off camera, it says, if you're the best at eating your vegetables, take a piece of chocolate. And they both laugh and they know, you know, neither one of them is probably that good, but how do you measure the best about around that? So they both grab a piece of chocolate, right? And they're all, well, finally, the voice off camera, it says, take a piece of chocolate if you love sharing. Well, the smiles go off their face, right? And all of a sudden they're serious and they look down at the chocolate in their hand. They look at the chocolate on the plate. And it's kind of like they have this look in their eyes and you feel the tension, right? You feel, even on the other side of the camera, you feel this tension around generosity. Because they're looking at this plate like, wait, that was a trick question, right? Finally, Olivia reaches down, grabs a piece of chocolate, and hands it to her sister. Right? The perfect answer. The perfect answer for that question. In the verses that we just read, we're given this picture of God that he hasn't just placed in front of us a little plate with a few pieces of chocolate. It's more like he came out with this whole tray that's just chocolates just falling off of it. He set it down in front of us and he's let us know that, you know what, there's more chocolate in the kitchen if you run out. And all he wants us to do is to take from that abundance that he has set down in front of us and to share it with others, is to give it away, that to share out of that abundance, out of more chocolate than we would even know what to do with. He wants us to give some of that away to others. Okay, turn to somebody across the room and shout, I was made for generosity. Do you believe it? Do you believe that is our God and that is what he has done? Our verses tell us, you know what? If we don't understand generosity that way, if we look down, but often it says we don't understand who we even are. But often we will look down at that tray. We will look down at that heap of blessings, those loving kindnesses that come every morning. The breath that we breathe, the beauty that we see in this world, the tangible things that God gives us, the spiritual things he has poured into us. We look down at that and God says, all I want you to do is share from that. And we hesitate. We balk at that. We wonder. We kind of look and we kind of like we didn't understand what he said. We look like those girls did at the tray and it's kind of like this is a trick question. Really? God says, you know what? I have been kind, so be kind. I have forgiven you, so forgive. I have given you everything, so share it. He says, that's my purpose. So we say, well, where does that hesitation come from? Where does that hesitation originate? Where does that tension around generosity come in? That tension, that ends up shutting down God's intention in us. Where does that start? Well, sometimes we hesitate because we really don't know God's intention for us. But if we don't know it, it's only because we don't know what he has clearly said to us throughout his word. Now, when I was preparing this, I was thinking, you know, you think about God's word. There's the Old Testament, roughly the first three quarters, you know, of your Bible. It was written before Jesus came. It was written to his people Israel. There's the New Testament, roughly one quarter of your Bibles at the end. It was written after Jesus came. It was written to his church. Now, most of you guys are going, I don't know what you mean by one quarter and three quarters. I'm reading off, right? And I was thinking, you know, God's word is still his word. You got to take my word for it. Old Testament, first three quarters. I mean, there's a lot there. And then the New Testament. But throughout it, you know what God consistently says? He condemns things like being jealous of others. He condemns stealing. He condemns that coveting, that greed that wants what others have that you don't have. He condemns that lying to gain an advantage. And consistently, he commends and commands his people to do crazy things like taking some of our stuff, regularly taking a portion of our stuff that he gave us, right? And giving it to others who are in need. To come alongside of others, to help them, to bless them. So he take it to the poor, to the widows, to the orphans, to the immigrants that are among you, the refugees that have fled their homes and have nothing. Anyone, he said in the Old Testament, anyone who doesn't have land or livestock to take care of themselves, you take care of them in the land, from your land and from your livestock. We look at that and we hesitate. And he said, you know, if you will do these things, it's amazing. He said also, you know, don't hold back in this. He said, just like I've generously given to you, you should generously pour it out to them. If you go back to the Old Testament and you look at the numbers, you know what he actually is telling them to do? He says, as a nation, I want you to get together on this and I want you to pool your resources. And you'll find that if you pull your resources and you start caring for those who are among you who don't have anything, you will actually, I'm asking you to raise their level of living, their standard of living. I want you to raise it up to about averages what you guys are having. You know, that standard that you're living at. You look at the numbers and he's saying, I want you to bring them, not just do just enough, but pour it out on them. Let them know that I'm behind this. But they hesitated. He said, if you'll do that, I'll bless you. I'll show you that if you'll all get in on this, you'll be able to take care of everyone who is among you that doesn't have. People will be amazed by what I do in your nation. But they hesitated. And the prophets kept having to come back again and again and again and tell them, you know, did God hold back on you when he poured into your life? Then why would you hold back when you're blessing others in his name? Well, then we come to the church. And right away we see the church doing the same thing, and people are selling their land and bringing gifts to take care of other people, and they're giving, they're generously giving. But then right away we see, if you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, it's in the New Testament in the book of Acts, and you see these two that come and they're skimming off the top, right? They're not quite giving the full gift. They're not quite being generous. They just want to be known as generous, but they don't want to, they're not sure about being generous. We see that then the New Testament writers have to keep coming back, Paul and Peter, and they have to keep encouraging them. You know what Jesus said. Jesus said, we can't have greed among us. We can't have that worry and that fear. Why? Because it dims the light of God showing himself through us. Because our God is a generous God. Amen? I was made for generosity. You were made for generosity because we were made to reflect our generous God. You know, they hesitated. We know the feeling, don't we? I know that feeling. That feeling, because we're raised in a world that tells us that if somebody else gets something, there's another person who has lost something, and that person might be you, right? If you're not gaining, you're probably losing, and we desperately do not want to be those who are losing. And we will do anything not to be those who are losing. We've been trained since we're children to think this way. We've been taught these things. So we hesitate. We hesitate to let go of our money or of our time or of our abilities or of our efforts or our energy. We hesitate to let them go to places that don't have a direct positive impact on our well-being. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much we have. It doesn't matter how little we have. We hold on to what we have. You know, often when we do show kindness, it's kind of like Ananias and Sapphira, right? We show kindness because there's a direct bearing on, well, others will see me as kind then, right? Others will see me as generous. That at least that other person that I'm kind to or that I pour into, that I give my time or my efforts or my treasures, if I give them, that person at least will see us as kind. You know what? Jesus said, you know what? When you give of other acts of charity or acts of mercy, he said, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. That's how secret it should be. You're not in it for the glory. You're in it to show the glory of God. You're in it to direct all the attention to him. You know, Matthew, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he summarizes, he says, let your light so shine in front of others that they see your good works. These are the works he's talking about. And they glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine in such a way that they see your good works, but they glorify God. Maybe we hesitate because, you know, we don't believe that God's going to supply the needs that we have the way that he said he would. Maybe we hesitate because we can imagine a time or a way that we would be so generous to others that we would run out of stuff and we'd be left hanging, right? Or maybe we hesitate. I think maybe we hesitate because even in hearing all this, even in reading throughout Scripture, we begin to see, you know what? I think there's more to this word on generosity than just giving our stuff away. I think there's more to reflecting God's generosity than just giving a bunch of my stuff away. And so we dig deeper. We begin to dig deeper into this, and we find that indeed, the only tension, the tension of generosity, the tension that's around this whole thing of generosity is not, I mean, the tension that God wants us in, it is not just about whether we're going to give some of our stuff away or not. That's an easy tension to see, isn't it? That's an easy one to see and to just call it what it is. That's just us being selfish and frightful and, you know, fearful and worried. And that's what that is. There's a deeper tension he wants us to know and to dig for and to find, because there's a tension that comes around generosity, this tension in the soul through which he begins to shape us to be more like Jesus. He shapes us to be more like his own heart and his own character. So I want to walk us through this passage that we read in 2 Corinthians because I want us to see several of the details there that start pointing us in the direction and start leading us to a deeper tension. Not just a surface one, but a tension that reminds us, you know what, and I want you to hear this. We are responsible with all that God pours into our lives. We are responsible not just for what we keep. We are responsible for what we give away. I want us to hear that because that's going to throw attention into your generosity. It's easy, honestly, comparatively, it's easy to just give stuff away. Now, that's tough if you're, you know, but that's selfishness. But once you get past that, it's easy to let it go. But it's hard to give things away in a way that you are just as responsible for what you've given away as what you've kept. Because God gives us what we have in order that we might be good stewards of it. And because of that, he wants us to be just as responsible for the things we give away as for the things that we keep. And we see this in our passage in 2 Corinthians 9. I'm going to walk us through this and take a look at this. So if you have your Bibles, you have it open, you can read along. If you don't, just know that, you know, you can watch this later and you can kind of get a Bible and follow through. But first, one thing that we notice is that in verse 8, God says that he is able to make all grace abound to you in every way, right? He is able. That does not say that he has just promised that he will. You say, well, wait a second. God gives us grace. Yes. I'm not talking about the grace where God says, I'll take care of your needs. I'm not talking about because he has said, I will come alongside, I will take care of your needs. I will protect you. I will walk with you. I will care for you. He will bless you. He will keep you. But he says he is able to make grace abound to you in every way, every grace in every way. So God is able to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out, overflow on us, abounding in loving kindness and truth. And he can do that. But he has also said in other places that if we are using that overflow in ways that are contrary to or not aligned to his work or his desires or his plans in not just our life, but the lives of others, he doesn't have to overflow into our lives. But he is able. Amen? You're not cheering quite as much right now. You're like, wait a second. I just wanted that to be kind of just a regular, I just thought that was automatic. God just starts. Now his grace, it is overwhelming. It is more than we deserve, no matter what he pours in. But he is able to overflow. Second, we need to understand that the you in this verse is not a singular you. Now, in English, we have a hard time with that because I can point at one person and say, you, or I can say, you, right? Now, down south, they fixed this because if they translated this, it would be y'all or all y'all. You know, those are two variations of how big the crowd is, y'all and all y'all. Okay, so this is talking about the plural form of you. What does that have anything to do with this? I think it's... We have to remember that God, when he says, I'm going to overabound in you, all of you, it doesn't mean that any one of us gets it all. Some of what Paul is telling is reminding us of is we are a body. And sometimes God pours into my life in a different way that he has poured abundantly into your life. And it's only when we come together and we put all of that out on the table and we can say, wow, look at what God could do through us. Not just me. And he wants us to know that. Because his action is not primarily so that it can be me and Jesus out there, you know, out in the all alone, you know, there's nobody standing with us. I don't need anybody. I got Jesus. No, he says, no, it's Jesus is with his church. So it's me and Jesus and all his people. So it's when we come together in Israel, he said, if all of you will do this, you will take care of all the poor among you. And again, he tells the church, if all of you will come together and bring all of your gifts and all of your talents and all of your resources and all of your energy and all of your time, you'll be amazed at what I can do through you. Challenge in this one. Do you know what your part, would you know what your place in the body of Christ is? Do you know he has blessed you with what you're bringing? Do you know what you bring as an abundance to the community so that God can accomplish? I mean, that's a hard question for us sometimes. That brings tension. Do I know what I'm bringing? Third, he says that he does this so that we may have all sufficiency in all things. That word all sufficiency, I want to zero in on that one. I don't know if all of you have that translation, but that word, he says that he abounds in all grace so that we might have all sufficiency to do all things, to accomplish what it is that he gives us to do. Now, that word all sufficiency does not mean the sufficiency piece. It doesn't just mean for me to do what I have in mind to do. It doesn't mean that we as a church do whatever we come up with, what we think is important. The word all sufficiency means that we are set in such a strong position that not only is God taking care of our needs, but we are in such a strong position, we are able to assist and help others that are beyond just whatever the boundary is of our own thought, of whether my life or the life of this church, we're able to reach out well beyond that. He says that he blesses us in a way that we have all sufficiency, ability to bless others. Do we know that? That God gives us what we have so that we might be strong, but not in ourselves, but so that we can be strong to bless others. So what's the challenge there? The challenge is, am I using the blessing that God has poured into my life on behalf of those who God has pulled around me that I might bless their lives? Am I even looking for that? That's a tension, right? That's a tension that comes up out of generosity. And it doesn't just say that we'd be able to do the minimum. Again, he says that you would be able to do, we would have an abundance for every good work. It'd be flowing over the top. The challenge there is, okay, so do I go way beyond just what is necessary at times with the people that God has put me across their path? Do I just lavishly pour out on them with the abundance and the generosity that God has shown in my life? The next verses, the next lines in our passage, we read them. And I think many of us assumed that God was talking about himself. It comes from a passage in the Psalms. And it says, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. But if you look at the context of that psalm, that is about the person that God blesses, not about God. And Paul quotes it here because he said, I want you to know what God said he can do, and I'm going to give you a description of what he expects us to become if we will just walk in that grace and that generosity that he has made us for. He says, he or she, you, will scatter abroad generously. Scatter abroad. You will give generously to the poor. That you, your righteousness, that people, when they look at your life, your righteous acts will go into the ages, both in kind of in that fame of, do you remember so-and-so, how generous that they were? And it's not just about gaining fame for ourselves, but the fame of that generosity, that lavish generosity will go into the ages, and the impact of that generosity will go into the ages. You, not God. Paul's going to talk about how generous God is in just a second, but he's talking about you. He said, God has done these things so that you would scatter broadly, that you would generously give to the poor, that your righteous actions would extend into the ages. Then Paul, he talks about who God is. He says he's the one who supplies a seed and to the one who needs it, who scatters it. The sower, and bread for food. And then he says, based on that truth, that is who God is who he's always been, that he is going to increase and multiply your seed that's meant for sowing. And he's writing to this church because they have given a gift to take care of the church in Jerusalem that was struggling at the time. They had given a gift. And he says, because of that, I know that God's going to pour more into you so that you can scatter it even more. In case you haven't picked up in this short segment that we have here, but throughout Scripture, this regularly happens, but Paul is using the word seed here. He's really using it. He's not talking about seed. He's not talking about, you know, what are we going to do if God dumps out, you know, a load of grain in our driveway, right? I mean, we don't know what to do with that. Grain to the farmer was what he scattered. He's talking to the Thessalonians or to the Corinthians. He's not talking about grain. He's talking about money, about wealth. He says, God is going to give you the seed that you sow. The money that you use in your life is you sowing your seed. And he says, he's going to pour into you. He's going to give you more seed to sow. more wealth, more. He's going to pour into you, give you, he's going to draw from his resources, from his storehouses, and he's going to give it to you so that you might scatter it abroad. Why? Because that's what he wants to do, but he wants to bless others through you. That's his intention. He wants to come alongside of you. And so if we align with God and what he is doing in our lives, we are likely to see that either individually or as a community, God will start pouring in more and more resources because he sees that we scatter them broadly. And he says, great, you're doing my work. I want you to get out there and even do more of it. But then finally, and I want to pay attention to this because this is kind of the last point, but it's a big one. It says, God will increase that harvest that comes from our righteous action. And it will, he will do it in a way that it enriches us in every way. So we have a harvest that comes in from the seed that we planted, but it enriches us, and get this, for all generosity. There's that word, okay? The word generosity. All generosity which produces thanks to God. That word generosity, I want you to hear this. That word generosity does not mean just throwing stuff out there. It doesn't mean just giving stuff away. That's not generosity. That word means, it means an act of benevolence that comes out of proper understanding, that comes out of proper intention, proper motivation. It's not just the act of giving something away. It's the act of giving something away on purpose. Giving something away with intention, with purpose. That's where I think the greatest tension for us is. It is easy to give stuff away, but God, his word has never said he just wants us out there giving everything away. That is a quick way to poverty. And that is not generosity. God says generosity is like the farmer, and you don't see the farmer out there just everywhere he goes throwing seed everywhere. He's not in downtown New York City throwing seed out onto the sidewalks and onto the pavement. Why? Because that's purposeless. He's not in caves throwing seed out there where it gets no sunshine. The farmer is finding that field that has been prepared, and he's throwing the seed on the soil that will receive it, that's been prepared, that soil that's ready, that's the purpose of soil is to receive seed and to let it germinate and come to fruit. It says generosity is are those acts, it's that act where we farmers have a plan. And generosity has a plan, it has an intent. That you're casting, you're freely being generous with your stuff in someone's life, and you're doing it, but you're doing it with a purpose. A farmer has a plan that when they go and they scatter their seed, they don't just dump it in one spot. Instead, they scatter it, and they have a plan so that they scatter it, and there's enough to cover the whole field that they're responsible for. So it doesn't mean like robbing from your children in order to give away to strangers. It's not talking about that. It's saying in generosity, you're scattering your whole field. And there's no question that it should be generous. Often it says, you know, the more seed, the better the harvest. So be generous. But he says, have a plan. Have an intent with, because you are responsible not just for what you keep, but you are also responsible for what you give. I want you guys to think about something, you know, that, does God want us to take a portion of our stuff and to give it, to even here at this church, to invest it in this church in order that we as a community might have a pool in order to be able to scatter abroad and impact this region that he has put us in the name of Christ? Yes, he does. Does God want us to regularly take that portion off the top, not waiting until we run out or just throwing in what we have in our pocket, but really being intentional and saying, yes, I'm going to take a portion that you have asked, this tithe that you have asked for, I'm going to give that to you. Is that what he wants? Absolutely. Does he want us at times to look at that whole pile of what he has given us and said, you know what? I have the ability to give pretty generously. I can give even more than that. Does he want us? Yes, absolutely. but he doesn't want us to stop there. He wants you to be invested in this church enough that you know where that money is going, that you know how that money is being used, that we are deciding together and we are discerning together how would God best impact this community that we are in, that we're coming together and we're wrestling with that because God has asked us not just to be responsible for what we have, but for what we give away. You guys, we have the opportunity here at Christ Church to make an incredible impact on people's lives if we would, one, bring our stuff together, yes, but also make sure that we're wrestling together with how and praying together. God, show us how we're supposed to use that. Show us how to align with what you're doing so that we don't scatter without purpose, that I don't scatter without purpose in my life, and that we don't scatter without purpose as a church. That's the tension of generosity. Throwing stuff away is not generosity. The tension of generosity comes because it is a purpose. It is something that God, we have to think about it. We have to take time. So I want you to think about the question I asked at the beginning. When was the last time you did something truly generous in someone else's life? Because that takes time. That takes thought. That takes planning. That just doesn't mean handing something off. That means I'm going to do this in this pinpoint because God is, man, this is going to impact. Now, can you guarantee the harvest? No, a farmer can't guarantee the harvest, but he can guarantee that he's not going to have a harvest as he's just throwing his seed around. He's just dumping it in a spot and walking away because he's too lazy to think about it, right? When was the last time that we did something truly generous, that we gave out of that generosity intention? Intention with the grace we talked about 2 weeks ago, we give away freely. Intention with the truth that we talked about last week is bounded. It has purpose, intention, faithfulness, follow-up, generosity, intention. Amen. Father, you have called us to high purposes and amazing, God, amazing possibilities. Father, we ask that you would make us yours, that you would make us reflections of your heart and of your life and of your generosity. Let us wrestle with the tension. What does it mean to truly be generous with those who are right next to me, with those who I cross their paths, with those who live in my own house? How can I be generous? Intention with intention. Pray this for your glory in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Spirit who transforms us every day. We bless you, our generous God. Amen.